Welcome to episode 215 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. Tent and Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we wrap up our week-long study of the book of Luke in week 33 of our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. Called the most beautiful book ever written, the Gospel of Luke begins by telling us about Jesus' parents, the birth of his cousin John the Baptist, Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem, where Jesus is born in a manger, and the genealogy of Christ through Mary. Jesus' public ministry reveals his perfect compassion and forgiveness through the stories of the prodigal son, the rich man and Lazarus, and the Good Samaritan, only recorded in this gospel. While many believe in unprejudiced love that surpasses all human limits, many others, especially the religious leaders, challenge and oppose the claims of Jesus. Christ's followers are encouraged to count the cost of discipleship while his enemies seek his death on the cross. Finally, Jesus is betrayed, tried, sentenced, and crucified. But the grave cannot hold him. His resurrection assures the continuation of his ministry of reconciliation, restoration, and renewal. Since Luke is a Gentile, his references to the Old Testament are relatively few compared to those in Matthew's Gospel, and most of the Old Testament references are in the words spoken by Jesus rather than in Luke's narration. Jesus uses the Old Testament to defend against Satan's attacks, answering him with, "It is written," to identify himself as the promised Messiah, to remind the Pharisees of their inability to keep the law and their need of a Savior, and to confound their learning when they try to trap and trick him. The Gospel of Luke gives us a beautiful portrait of our compassionate Savior. Jesus is not turned off by the poor and the needy. In fact, they are a primary focus of his ministry. Israel at the time of Jesus is a very class-conscious society. The weak and downtrodden are powerless to improve their lot in life and are especially open to the message in Luke 10 verse 9 that the kingdom of God is near you. This is a message we must carry to those around us who desperately need to hear it. Even in comparatively wealthy countries, perhaps especially so, the spiritual need is dire. Christians must follow the example of Christ and bring the good news of salvation to the spiritually poor and needy. The kingdom of God is near, and the time to get ready for that kingdom is short. Earlier this week, we explored miracles and parables unique to Luke's gospel. But as the longest of the Gospels, there is so much more that is unique to this book. He adds details to stories like the anointing of Jesus' feet, the transfiguration, and the narrative of his birth. He also identifies the angel who predicts the birth of both John the Baptist and Jesus as Gabriel, the same angel who appears to the prophet Daniel. Here are 10 of my favorite passages, stories, incidents, or messages that are found only in this book. 1. For months, Zechariah has been struck mute for failing to believe the prophecy given to him by the angel Gabriel of a miracle birth. When his son is born, the people want to name the child after his father, but Zechariah writes on a writing tablet, "His name is John." 2. Jesus' birth is first announced to angels tending their flocks by night. 3. Jesus is dedicated in the temple. 4. When he's 12, Jesus travels with a large group to Jerusalem for the Passover. After the commemoration, his parents begin the return journey, and it takes them a day before they realize that Jesus is not among them. They return to Jerusalem, finding Jesus 3 days later. He is in the temple in deep discussion with the elders. Are you looking for Jesus? You can still find him in church. 5. Jesus reads from the book of Isaiah and asserts that the prophecy he read has been fulfilled. 6. Jesus visits the home of Mary and Martha. Mary sits at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Martha fusses that her sister is not helping to prepare the food for the guests. 7. Jesus quotes a proverb that is still popular today, "Physician, heal yourself." 8. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. 9. Jesus' emotional roller coaster. As he approaches Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, some Pharisees call on him to rebuke his disciples. Jesus responds, "If they remain silent, the very stones will cry out." And then, as he gets even closer, Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem, knowing what will become of it. And number 10, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to disciples traveling on the road to Emmaus and gives them a Bible study. Three questions from the book of Luke. What is the Magnificat? Luke 1 records the meeting of Mary and her cousin Elizabeth after a visit from the angel of the Lord and the Immaculate Conception. Elizabeth, who is about 6 months pregnant at this time, is filled with the Holy Spirit and reports that the moment she hears Mary's voice, her unborn baby, John the Baptist, leaps in her womb. Elizabeth then goes on to bless Mary. Mary responds to Elizabeth's blessing with a prayer, poem, hymn of praise that is now commonly called the Magnificat. Some Bibles label this passage the Song of Mary, although the Bible does not report that she sings it. The first line might be familiar. My soul magnifies the Lord. What is the consolation of Israel? When Mary and Joseph go to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate their son and have him circumcised, they meet Simeon, a man who, according to Luke 2 verse 25, was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. The consolation of Israel refers to the promised Messiah. To console is to alleviate grief or take away a sense of loss or trouble. The Messiah, the consolation of Israel, is to remove sorrow and comfort the nation. Simeon and generations before him have waited for the coming of the one who will console God's people. The prophet Isaiah predicts that the Messiah will take on the ministry of consolation. This is what he writes in Isaiah 40 verses 1 to 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Why does Jesus counsel us to remember Lot's wife? In speaking to his disciples about a coming time of great destruction, Jesus mentions what happened to Lot's wife and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Lot's wife, he says in Luke 17, verse 32, and then adds in the following verse, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. He's talking about where your heart lies, what you are most concerned about. What are your priorities? Are you concerned about the things of God, or are you more fixated on materialism? Luke's interest in people is undeniable. Much of the material unique to Luke's gospel involves Jesus' interactions with individuals, many of them on the fringes of quote-unquote acceptable society, sinners, women, and children among them. Like Matthew and Mark, Luke records the incident of a woman coming to pour perfume on Jesus' feet. But Luke is the only gospel writer to point out the fact known to all present that she is an immoral woman. In a similar way, we find in Luke alone the conversation between the thieves crucified alongside Christ, one of them defending Jesus and receiving the promise of paradise, and the other joining the condemning crowd. Luke's portrayal of Jesus reveals in our Lord a man come to minister and show compassion to all people, no matter their station in life. Just as Matthew portrays Jesus as the king and Mark reveals him as the servant, so Luke offers a unique perspective of Jesus as a son of man. This phrase, son of man, is Jesus' favorite way to refer to himself. Arguably the most famous person among the people unique to Luke's gospel is a tax collector, Zacchaeus, a short man who must climb a tree to see over the crowds as Jesus approaches his town. Jesus ends up sharing a meal with Zacchaeus at his house, much to the chagrin of the local religious leaders. When Zacchaeus expresses his regret over his former way of life and vows to make restitution, Jesus responds with what becomes a theme of Luke's gospel in Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke portrays Jesus as God's ideal man who offers salvation to all humanity, Jew and Gentile alike. Father, I am so grateful that you sent your Son into the sinful world to seek and save someone like me, one who is lost. Help me to yield to his call on my life. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.